Couldn't we? I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 29. We'll read one verse of Scripture, very familiar verse of Scripture. You could quote it as we stand to our feet tonight. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. Let's read it together, would you? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's read it one more time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I love that, don't you? God's word is just profound. It gives us everything we need. And we talk about it being profound, but it's so simple. It's so simple. I'm glad God didn't make it complicated, aren't you? And tonight I want to ask you this question and preach on this thought. How is your vision? How is your vision? Let's pray together. Father, please have your way. Lord, these next few moments we have together, I pray, Lord, would be used by Thee to strengthen us and to help us, and to guide us and direct us. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to be real in this place. Yes. And Lord, I pray that we'd go away from here closer to You and with a greater understanding of You and Your Word. Right. And Lord, that we would do greater things for Thee because of our vision of You, who You are, what You want to be in our lives. Guide us and direct us now. We'll give You the glory for all that's accomplished. We need Thee, Lord. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. After the resurrection, after Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 20 and verse number 20, the Bible says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I call that 20-20 vision. Amen. John 20, verse number 20. They saw the Lord. And the most important thing we need in our lives tonight is to see the Lord. We see all the circumstances. We see all the situations. And so many times we do not see the Savior. But tonight, if we would look beyond the circumstances and beyond the situations, and we would get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, what a difference that would make in our lives. We all know that the most important thing is that we would see the Lord. If you go read Hebrews chapter number 11, that great chapter on the people of faith, all those saints from the Old Testament, and you were to go through all of those people, and it says, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith, by faith, by faith, these people lived lives of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, after it follows that great chapter of faith, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this is how we do it. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible teaches us that we need to have our eyes on the Lord. We need to be looking unto Jesus. And I want you to know that all throughout the Bible, there are people that saw the Lord. There are people that saw places that helped them to see God. And there are people that had an understanding of God working in their lives. And if we started tonight in the book of Genesis and worked our way all the way through, it could take us weeks and weeks and weeks to finish sermons on seeing the Lord and the great things. But I want to look at just two or three of them tonight, maybe just one. We'll see how it goes. But I want you to turn with me, if you will, all the way back to the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22 tonight, and I want us to see a beautiful story, one of the great stories in the Bible, and there's so many of them. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, this God said, take now thy son, Thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I want you to see tonight that we need to see the Lord. And here we find a place, the Bible says, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Notice what he said in verse number 3. The Bible says, And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse number 14, And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This is a place of faith. And tonight when we get our eyes on God, we're going to have our eyes in a place of faith. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We're so busy trying to live by sight that we forget that the Christian life is a life of faith. And when you look at this story, you see that this place of faith, first of all, was a place of surrender. It was a place of surrender. Notice what the Bible teaches us here. Abraham had to surrender to God. By the way, God had been preparing Abraham for this day. There was a day when Abraham left all of his family, and left all of his country, left everything he knew to go out and to seek for a city whose builder and maker was God. That's faith, isn't it? It's not an easy thing to do, but when God puts it in your heart to do it, and when God leads you, you've got to do it. And so Abraham was learning to surrender to God. And then there was a day in the life of Abraham where Abraham's father died, and it was a difficult time for Abraham. It broke his heart, and he had to surrender to God through those circumstances, and he had to leave his father and the place of his heritage and leave all those things that he ever knew and to go out even further because God was taking him to a place. You remember Abraham had a lady by the name of Hagar. She had a son by the name of Ishmael, who was Abraham's son. And God told Abraham, you've got to give them up. They weren't the proper seed. Abraham disobeyed God. You remember that? Abraham disobeyed God. And so he had to surrender Hagar, and he didn't want to do that. As a matter of fact, when God promised him a seed, Abraham said, why not Ishmael? And God said, because that's not the one I've chosen. That's not the way that you've got to do it. My way. And see, they thought, well, Sarah can't have a child. So, and God said, this isn't about sight, it's about faith. And I want to tell you something tonight. So many of us, it's about sight. And we'll never go any further than where we are if we're living our life by sight and not by faith. Abraham had to learn to surrender some things. But all of those things were getting him ready for this day. Because this was going to be the day of his greatest surrender. God said, I want you to take thy son, thine only son Isaac. What a picture of Calvary. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham representing God the Father, Isaac representing God the Son. Isaac wasn't a little boy, by the way. Isaac, by any means, would be known as a grown man. He was big enough and strong enough to get away. And I love the story of Abraham and Isaac. Because when you read this story, you see certain things that are happening. First of all, you realize the Bible teaches us, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here, in verse number 5, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac. There it is. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ having to carry the cross of Calvary? Now we see that Abraham laid the wood upon his only son. His son, his only son. God said, Isaac is your son. It wasn't Ishmael, it was his son, Isaac. He laid the wood upon him. He knew that Abraham knew what God was asking him to do would be the most difficult thing, but he had to surrender his will to God. And by the way, the book of Hebrews helps us to understand it, and so does this book help us to understand it, because the Bible teaches us, the Bible says, verse number 5 says, abide ye here with the ass. He spoke to the two young men, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He knew he was going up to sacrifice his son, but he knew his son would come back with him. He had that much faith in God. You say, how do you know that? Well, look with me. The book of Hebrews chapter number 11. I love the Bible, don't you? It just proves itself over and over and over again. Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his son, of whom it was said that, and Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham said, I'm willing to go with God. And God has said, I have to put my son Isaac on the altar. And I have to take his life. And he said, but I know if I take his life, that this is the seed that God promised. And the Bible teaches me that through this seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So if I do what God says and I sacrifice my son, mine only son Isaac, the son of the promised seed, if I sacrifice him, God surely is going to raise him from the dead. I'm going to do this by faith. It was a place of surrender. And dear friends, God sometimes asks us to step out by faith and do some very difficult things. But we have to surrender our will to God. How do you do that? Looking unto Jesus. Getting your eyes on the Lord. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish, the Bible says. So it's a place of surrender. Not only is it a place of surrender, it's a place of sacrifice, isn't it? The Bible teaches us as we go on down through the Scripture. The Bible goes on and says, Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. Now, verse number 6, if you'll notice, it says, and they went both of them together. They left the two young men. Verse number 7, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And look, here's that phrase again. So they went both of them together. Abraham had proven himself to his son Isaac. And he was willing to follow him. And he knew that his father knew what God was leading him to do. Now, the story gets a little bit more interesting. Because the Bible says in verse number 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. There's that place again, this place of faith. which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order. And listen to this. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You notice Isaac's not asking questions any longer. You want to know why? Because he had watched his father walk by faith. And he was willing to commit his life to his father. And to know that his father walked with God. Can I ask you something tonight? Do people in your family know that you walk with God? Do people that you work with know that you walk with God? Do your next door neighbors know that you walk with God? I'm not talking about walking around with a sign that says I'm holier than you are, but there's something about you that they know that you love God and that God loves you and that you live by faith and not by sight and you just extend yourself for God. Do people know that you walk with God? Isaac knew Abraham walked with God. And the Bible says Abraham, he built an altar. He laid the wood in order, and he binds his son Isaac. Isaac's not a little boy. It's not like Paul taking Jacob here and binding him. This is two grown men. This is an older man and a younger man. You got to remember, Abraham was an old man when Isaac came along. And Isaac could have fought. But he bound his son Isaac, and Isaac submitted himself to the will of the Father. Think of Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father, and he died on the cross. See, Abraham told Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. Isaac must have thought, I guess I'm the lamb. Abraham must have thought, I guess he's the lamb. He's the sacrifice. But just as sure as I do this, God will raise him up. It's a place of sacrifice. This place of faith is a place of surrender, but it's a place of sacrifice. And dear friends, God sometimes tells us we must sacrifice things that we think that we love and we can't do without. Now, the Lord's not going to tell us to go and slay our son. We understand that because the one that needs to be slain has been slain once for all. But God does tell us to give our children to Him. Do you realize Faith and Joe, while God has given them to me, He lent them to me, but they're His children. I gave them to God. My wife and I gave them to God the day that they were born. Our job is to rear them, but they belong to God. They're His. And if God calls them to the mission field, then I have to say, thank God, you go. It'll break my heart. Think if God were to call them to a land far away, it would break my heart to not be able to be with them. But I would be so grateful that God is using them because they're His. And dear friends, if they can reach people with the gospel of Christ, then I'll glorify God with that. If God brings them back to where we are and allows us to be with them forever, then I'll glorify God for that, but they're His. They have to do what He wants them to do. And that's not always easy to do. So many times we want to hold on to our children, but a parent that's right with God is going to give his child to God. I don't care what you think. They belong to God. And if you try to hold on to them, then you are doing a great damage to their lives. Now, when they're in your home, you have to rear them and raise them and teach them and train them. But if you give them to God, you have to allow God to direct their lives. And most parents don't want to do that, do they? They want them right there with them. You know, I mean, I told Faith, I said, well, you can get married, you can just live with us. You know? But sorry, husband can't, but you can. I guess it depends on who it is, if I could put up with him. I know he could put up with me, no doubt about it. But it's a place of sacrifice. And some of the things that we hold dearest to our lives might be the very thing that God tells us to put on the altar. It's not always an easy thing to do. But dear friends, we've got to do what God wants us to do because this is a place of faith. Faith to surrender. faith to sacrifice. But not only is it a place of faith to surrender and sacrifice, it's a place of salvation. Notice what happens here. Abraham takes the knife out, ready to slay his son. And as he draws back that dagger to take the life of his only son, there's an angel that says, "Abraham! Abraham!" And for the third time, Abraham says, "Here am I." You know what's so great about that? Is he heard the calling of God. When was the last time God spoke to us? When was the last time God said something to us personally? Maybe not in an audible voice. I'm saying he's spoken to us personally. When you have your eyes on the Lord, you have your eyes on the Lord, God will bring you to a place of faith in him. A place of surrender, a place of sacrifice, a place of salvation.
Isaac's life was getting ready to be taken, and Abraham knew that God would raise him up. But instead, God was just saying, "Abraham, I want to see that you'll go." Now, God already knew what Abraham would do, but God wasn't proving Abraham to God. God was proving God to Abraham. And that's what God will do in our lives. He'll take us to the place where we're willing to give it all to him. And then he'll send somebody along and says, "Don't put the dagger in. I wanted to see if you'll go all the way." But sometimes God may just have us to leave it on the altar. He's God, by the way. He can do whatever he wants to do. And the Bible says, "For I know now that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I love that, don't you? But verse number 14 is a key verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." How's your vision? Because this is a place of faith. But dear friends, if you read this, verse 14 teaches us that his faith became sight. Because in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And there's going to be a day coming in our lives where our faith shall become sight. May the Lord help us to see that. Another story we find in the Bible, very quickly, I'll give you one more story, is Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14, you know this story very well. I love Bible stories. Great. The Bible teaches us, of course, we know the story here that God has delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and he's taken them through a way that wouldn't normally make sense, but this is the way that God guided them. He took them a longer way because God, he led them into a trap. That's something. God led them into a trap because he was going to prove himself. Just like he proved himself to Abraham, he was going to prove himself to the children of Israel. And the Bible teaches us that he led them, and they got out there. They were so afraid, the Bible says, and they said, "Boy, we'd rather have died in Egypt than to be out here in this wilderness." In verse number 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Here we see that God gave them, the first place was a place of faith. This time we see that God gave them a path to follow. God gave them a path to follow. You know the story without going through and reading all these things. We know what happened here. Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation. Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." God's going to do something great. He told him to stand still. And then we see in verse number 15, he says, "Go forward." Many times we have to stand still and see what God's doing in our lives. And then God will say, "It's time to move ahead." God is helping us to get our eyes on him. God is helping us to see that he's going to give us a path to follow. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
When we see this, we see that they saw the Lord. They looked all around. Behind them was an enemy. In front of them was the Red Sea. They couldn't go to the right. They couldn't go to the left. And so they were looking all around. And they said, we have nowhere else to look but up. And they looked to God. And you know what God did? God opened the Red Sea. And He gave them a path to follow. God will get us to the point sometimes in our lives where we can't see anything else. And we have the choice. We either keep trying to do it on our own or we look to Him. And just as sure as we look to Him, I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll open up the Red Sea for us. And He'll give us a path to follow. He'll make a way for us to escape. The Bible helps us to understand this, that God has given us a path to follow. And He's given us His Word to light the way. We can have Red Sea experiences in our life. When it looks like there's no way you're going to make it. When it looks like there's no way you're going to be able to go through with it. When it looks like there's no way that the enemy is hot on your trail and he's pursuing and pursuing and you're about to fall underneath the pressure and it's getting so heavy and so hard and so difficult. And then finally you look to God and say, I can't do it. And God said, that's what I was waiting on. Get to the end of yourself and I will do it for you. And that's what happened. Oh, Moses, would to God that we had died in Egypt. Would to God that we had died as bond slaves. Would to God that we'd lived in that Egyptian bondage, and our children grew up in that Egyptian bondage. And would to God, oh, we're so afraid. Moses said, look, stand still, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God gave them a path to follow. And they walked across on dry ground. I like that. Then the enemy came. The Egyptians came right behind them. We could go through the whole story and talk about how there was dark on one side. Light. You know, we could talk about the great things. But the enemy came through and God closed the sea. Destroyed all the Egyptian army. What a story. A path to follow. How's your vision tonight? Circumstances, situations. Boy, look how bad it is over here. Look at this over here. Boy, look at all this. Look. God says, look unto Jesus. Get your eyes on Him. The enemy, yeah, it's there. The wilderness, it's there. The sea, it's there. But if you look up, I'll take you to the sea. Just one more. I want you to look with me, if you will, the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. We've seen a place of faith, a path to follow. 2 Kings, chapter number 6. The Syrians wanted to ambush the children of Israel. The prophet Elisha kept revealing to the children of Israel Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king's plan. It made him mad. And the Syrian army, by the way, was a very fierce army and a very wicked army. I'm telling you, they were wicked to the core. They were a group of people that would stop at nothing. Some of the things that they did were treacherous and horrible, how they would punish their enemy. And we see here that every time they would lay wait for ambush over the children of Israel, somehow the children of Israel never went by that way. Because there was a man by the name of Elisha that was in touch with God and had his eyes on the Lord. There was a young man that was with Elisha that we're going to see a little bit about. But this Syrian army, they got so mad, and Ben-Hadad got so mad, and they said, we're going to do something about this. We're going to go, and we're going to get Elisha, and we're going to try to get him on our side, and we're going to try to stop his mouth. We know that he's a prophet of the Lord, so there's not a whole lot, but maybe we can get him on our side. Maybe we can shut him up. Maybe we can capture him, whatever, but we've got to do something to stop Elisha. And so they go and they find where Elisha is. He's in Dothan. And so that's not Alabama, by the way, for those of you that, you know, maybe hadn't figured that out. But it's about 12 miles from Samaria. And so they go, they go and they find where he is, and they gather around them up on the mountains and on the hills. And Elisha wakes up, and this servant wakes up, and he's like, the servant that's with Elisha, he's scared to death. Elisha said, don't be afraid. You know, and this guy's sitting there thinking, yeah, right. No doubt about it. I mean, that's what you and I would probably do, right? You know what Elisha said? There's more with us than with them. Why? Because Elisha saw something this servant did not see. Look at it. Chapter 6, verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. So we've already established that. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, talking to Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. And I can just, you know, I'm reading between the lines. And I'm seeing this guy when Elisha says, fear not, they that be with us be more than they that be with them. I imagine if Elisha's here and I'm the servant, I imagine going, you know, you can understand what I'm talking about tonight. There's more of us than there are of them. There's two of us standing here. Something not right. But then look at the next verse. The Bible says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The third thing that we see when we have our eyes on the Lord is there is a promise to those that fear the Lord. Elisha did not fear what the Syrians could do. Elisha feared God, and because of that, God allowed him to see some things that nobody else could see. The Bible says in the Psalm 34, verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And tonight, if you're walking with God and you have your eyes on the Lord, you have the right kind of vision, you'll not fear what men can do. You'll not fear the economic situation or even the moral decline in our world. When we fear God, we're going to realize we may feel like we're the minority. But dear friends, God's the majority. And if you're on His side, you have your eyes on Him, He's going to help you to see everything is going to be all right with our eyes on the Lord. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, we could look at that. People perish because they die and go to hell. Why? Because people don't have a vision for doing what God wants them to do. Why do people not do what God wants them to do? First of all, because we don't have our eyes on the Lord. We're too busy looking at the situation and the circumstances instead of the Savior. We must get our eyes on the Savior. And when we do, you know what will happen? God will take us to a place of faith. And in that place of faith, we'll learn to surrender to God. We'll learn to sacrifice to God. And we'll learn that God will provide salvation through the difficulties that life may throw at us. That's a place of faith. And then when we come to a place in our life and we have our eyes on the Lord and we're following Him and there's nowhere else to turn, and we turn to God, He'll give us a path to follow. He'll make a way of escape. The New Testament teaches us that. When temptation comes, God will make a way of escape. And then there are times that we seem like we're so outnumbered. But that's because we're looking at everything but the right one. And when we get our eyes on the right one, we're going to find there's a promise to those that fear the Lord. And He'll take care of us. That doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. It doesn't, look here, the road to Calvary was a difficult road, wasn't it? The road to Calvary was hard and difficult. But Jesus Christ had to go that way in order for you and I to be saved. And there are times that God takes us through difficult circumstances, but He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. But He takes us that way to help us to learn that when we keep our eyes on Him, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. How's your vision tonight? Don't you think that maybe we need to get our eyes back on the Lord? Maybe we need to come to a place of surrender? Maybe we need to come to a place where we're willing to sacrifice in order for God to provide the salvation. Abraham would have never experienced the ram in the thicket. And he never would have called the place Jehovah Jireh had he not first been willing to surrender and to sacrifice something that was very precious to him. The children of Israel will never have experienced what they experienced in that path to follow through the Red Sea had they not been willing to look to God, to stand still, to see the salvation of the Lord, and then go forward. And Elisha's servant would have died out of fear of man had not Elisha been there and knew who God was and knew what God was doing and saw things that this man could not see and revealed to this young man that God is greater than any enemy this world may have. How's our vision tonight? Father, we thank You for loving us. Now, thank You for Your precious word. And Lord, so many great men and women in the Bible. Love You.